This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Raising Cane's, we focus on being the best at one thing and getting it right every time, which is why every hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken finger meal we serve is made just for you.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Good morning. It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Wednesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hour 3 is always sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production labor. Check him out at concreteindustries.com. We're now joined by Husker Online's Sean Callahan. Sean, good morning. We will get to the breaking news here in a second, but this show has had a fascination all week about what Sip has told us, is that you guys are staying in an Airbnb in State College. Bill is concerned, are you guys sharing rooms?
He's sharing bathrooms.
Sharing bathrooms. What's the situation in State College, Sean?
No, yeah, I've never done an Airbnb myself, but as you know, State College, there's not a lot of beds in that town. It's a very hotel, like your Fairfield Inn Marriott rooms are $500-$600 there. It's not
whoa,
like I think they're down to like four something now, but okay. Yeah, way back when I said, we're going to do a house, and we got a three-bedroom house, it's got two full bathrooms.
Okay, two. So somebody's sharing.
Somebody's sharing.
Who is that?
There's a Whirlpool hot tub or bathtub in the house. So that might be Sip.
If Sip gets in the Whirlpool tub, that would be incredible.
Expect it.
No, it's not happening.
It's not if, it's when.
Sip, but, yeah, we're Sip at?
In the, he's in the walk tub. It's a 15-minute walk from the stadium. 15, 20 minutes is what I'm told. And we actually back up to the park where Joe Paterno, his house is on, like, his house is like a 5-minute walk from where we're staying. The house where, and Sue Paterno evidently still lives there, so Sip can get up and have some coffee with Sue Paterno in the morning.
I'm sure that he will.
That'd be nice. She makes incredible chocolate chip cookies. They're famous. Sue.
Is that true?
That's
that right?
True. That's a true story. So maybe stop by and just knock on the door and say, I've heard about your cookies.
Sue, I'm assuming that was Joe's wife.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
That was, come yes, on, thank
you. I don't know what.
How do you put that together?
How is that not the assumption there?
All right, so three bedrooms. This is breaking news to me, Sean. Three bedrooms, two bathrooms. That shouldn't be a problem with a bathroom, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Somebody just came to our door here.
Is it the marble or the bathroom?
Yeah, three bedrooms, two bathrooms. So, yeah, we should be all good to go. Sipple, we have plenty of Sipple time.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Not sure what that means.
Sipple time for you.
Okay. Let's get to the news, Sean. Sean, this happened this morning. On3 broke this news.
Yeah, Chad Simmons. And you know, I texted with Chad. We haven't talked yet. And he was a little, I mean, he was surprised, and he spoke to Dominic and confirmed the news through Dominic that they were moving on from Nebraska. So quite a development of things here. And we know that Nebraska's coaching staff, Sip, was at Dayton's game on Friday, but it got very little attention or you know, we didn't know ahead of time that they were going to be there, and then they were there. So just something about even them being out there Friday didn't feel right. It just didn't have a good, I don't know. And then obviously the latest with TJ Lateef and how well he's played lately. I mean, that, and then you got Trey Taylor coming in. I mean, I just think there's a lot of things in play here. But now it makes to the bigger question, what about Dylan? Like, what does this start any dialogue with that situation? I mean, where were we at? But there's no doubt this is quite the bombshell when you're 2 weeks away from signing day.
This is we're talking about of course Dayton Raiola decommitting from Nebraska's class of 2026. Sean, what are your thoughts on that Dylan situation now? Is there going to be a follow-up announcement that Dylan intends to enter the transfer portal like we're seeing guys do around the country? Do you expect that?
God, you just think about, though, there's so much tied to Dylan right now. He's got, I believe they got a house now in Lincoln and multiple, I mean, things tied to his contract and thing. I mean, he'd be walking away from a lot, but his ultimate goal is to make the NFL. And if he, you know, doesn't have a good feel about things moving forward, you just never know where it would all go. But he's got as good of an NIL deal and situation as any quarterback in college football right now. But obviously there's a bigger goal in mind for him, and that's developing to the next level. So you wonder about these next 2 weeks. If TJ Lateef comes out and gets a win or two wins and looks good, it's going to really, I think, make this an interesting conversation. Remember, though, the portal doesn't open until January 2nd, but you're going to see a lot of guys throughout college football make their intentions known,
right,
that they will enter the portal. But when you're talking about a guy like Dylan Raiola, every single month of his contract is a lot of money. I mean, if he's $2 to $3 million, divide that by 12. That's a lot of money each month he makes. So there's a business that, yeah, you just wonder about all this long term because of how well taken care of he is and just how abrupt his injury situation has happened. I mean, they're driving to beat USC. They're going to win the game. And then he gets hurt for the year. And now a week later, 2 weeks later, his brother decommits. I mean, things have just moved, I think, at a speed that we can't even really process at this point.
No, it's just kind of like Penn State, how it unraveled so quickly there. That this situation is happening really quickly, too. I know you don't I don't expect you, nobody does, to understand the like Dylan's contract, but he does have a contract, right? And so there's something you have to consider that part. Or can you just duck out of those things?
Yeah, I mean, you duck out, you stop getting paid.
Right.
That's just, you know, when these deals, you know, they're all done differently, but you know, usually they're month to month and how they're broken down. But yeah, if he were to leave Nebraska, you know, it'd be hard for me to imagine getting that exact same type of situation anywhere else. I mean, he got an unbelievable deal, obviously, to come to Nebraska, and you know, he's a celebrity here. You know, I think you're not going to get that same type of situation really at very many other places, because of just the common connections they have to this program with their family. But yeah, it's going to lead to a lot of discussion. Dylan won't be in state college because he's still recovering. You know, I'm actually intrigued now for the Iowa game, just kind of what his presence would be down there for that game on the sidelines.
Now, do you have a good handle on what's next for Dayton? Like, is he eyeing anybody in particular? Do you guys know of that?
Too early to say, you know, with 2 weeks before signing day, it's just, you know, really, there's a lot of things that could happen here with Dayton and where it'll go. But, you know, he could hold out until February, but he is an early enrollee. You know, in fact, you know, earlier in this week, Sipple, you helped us confirm this, that Dayton was going to be a part of the bowl practice.
That's why, Sean, I want to break in there for a second. That's why I was a little startled by this. Because we had talked, Dominic wouldn't mind me saying this. I asked Dominic on Monday, is Dayton going to enroll early and be part of the bowl practice? He said, yeah, he says that's the plan. So that's why I was a little taken aback by the story this morning, you know, because now understand, Dominic wouldn't have to tell me, you know, everything that's going on in their household. So I get it.
And this is what I want to read exactly what Chad Simmons, who is one of our national analysts for On3, and he's based out of Georgia, so he's highly connected in Georgia. He said, Dom told him, we want to bet on ourselves. I just want to make sure of a fit. Dayton said, I just want to make sure of a fit. So this is what he received this morning from the Riola camp on the decision to decommit. So we'll see kind of where it all goes. But this happened. You think about Friday night, Matt Rhule was at the game in Buford, and here we are Wednesday morning, and it's over.
A fit, Sean. What does that mean? Speculate. What kind of – wonder what was about the fit that he didn't like or wasn't altogether comfortable.
Dylan Raiola, TJ Lateef, Trey Taylor. You talk about recruiting. One thing that's easy for me to observe is all the recruits that come in, who are they, you know, bringing in to be kind of the main host? Is it Dayton Raiola or is it Trey Taylor?
It's Trey Taylor.
So he's kind of in a awkward position where he is a part of the class. He is a quarterback recruit, or was a quarterback recruit, but wasn't really a part of, like, the recruiting process of bringing more players in.
He's a little more low-key on that front.
Join me on Husker Online, Sean Callan. Sean, you know, you see this all the time on your forums on HuskerOnline.com, but obviously now people say, well, the recruiting class just doesn't look very strong. How do you assess that, and you know, how much is the portal going to be once you get in play for this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think the recruiting class can be as strong as how much money you want to spend. I mean, that's just really what it comes down to. It's no longer working the phones and schmoozing people like it used to be. It's a business deal. And I think Nebraska's made the business decision with recruiting that they're going to go after some key parts, you know, like some of the guys, they've Danny Odom and Puma and some of these bigger names that they've added to the class. But they're not going to blow all their budget on high school players. I think their focus, based on how their roster makeup is, being the youngest already in the Big Ten, is to supplement that youth on this roster with veteran pieces that can play and help next year. So, you know, you're looking on the O-line, you're looking at running back, you know, maybe a pass rusher, maybe a bigger bodied defensive lineman. I think there's a lot of things that you can do with this recruiting class through the portal. And I think that's where the focus is. I don't think you can find that in the high school ranks. So you have to be a little bit more budget conscious of how you want to spend and break down kind of your dollars.
God, that makes sense. I mean, given the fact there are when Rhule keeps saying they're young, he's not wrong at all. There, if you look, Sean, there's 39 sophomores, redshirt freshmen, and freshmen on the two deep. And yes, there are veterans playing key roles, but man, there are a lot of young guys playing huge roles on that team. So I totally get what you just said. It makes sense. You have to supplement an already young roster with some good portal players. I think that's
and then you've got to retain the young players you develop. That's the other challenge now. It's about finding key acquisitions that can help your team, like an Isaiah Hunter, someone like that. And Isaiah Hunter was a great example of a great portal addition. He has 3 years of eligibility, mm-hmm. not just a one-year guy. Mm-hmm. But then you've got to keep your players. Like last year, obviously they had to fight to keep some guys like Keona Davis and Emmett Johnson. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were guys that went on the portal. People forget that. I think Ja'Cory Barney was a wrestling match behind the scenes to keep last year. Mm-hmm. So that's the other challenge. And then you have to decide, again, how you want to spend your money in high school recruiting. And it's a completely different game than it used to be. I mean, the days of, say, winning in the living room, you don't even get a chance to go in the living room. The coaches will not be in the living room in December this year. By the time they get on the road in January, everyone's already signed. I mean, 80% of Nebraska's recruits will be at bowl practices.
Hey, guys, Jake Sorensen. The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here, and Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. Don't wait. The most meaningful gifts get scooped up fast, and now is the perfect time to cross names off your list. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high-quality, unique, and often made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, making every gift feel meaningful and truly one of a kind. I recently got a whiskey board with a Miami Dolphins emblem that comes in a few weeks. I cannot wait to see the product when it gets to me. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Before the coaches can even hit the road to recruit and do in-home visit season.
Yeah, it's all way different than it was just 5 years ago. Now, Sean, this game, we haven't even mentioned this game at 6 p.m. Central against Penn State. I was interested in Holgorsen's just kind of throwaway comment yesterday where he said, we're going to have to play up. We're going to have to play up. That's a 7-3 Nebraska team against a 4-6 Penn State team, but he feels they have to play up. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, I think you just look no further than the point spread. I mean, Penn State arguably has the worst record of any team Nebraska's played all year, or one of the worst, yet they are the biggest favorite over the Huskers. And I'll use the Minnesota game. I mean, the odds makers on the road considered Nebraska over a touchdown favorite in Minneapolis, and PJ Fleck's team played up, and they played out of their minds, and Nebraska played their worst game of the year, and they got handled in Minneapolis. And, you know, so things like that can happen, but you've got to play up. I mean, those odds makers aren't fools. Like, the talent that Penn State has on that roster is still pro level. It is still a top 10, top 20 level college football roster, even without Drew Aller. They've got players on the lines. They've got edge rushers. They've got running backs. I would say they're not great at receiver. That's the one.
Yeah.
So in Nebraska's strength is corner. So that kind of doesn't really help them in this game. I mean, it's going to be turned into an old-fashioned, you know, grass field, hand-to-hand combat fight. And the defense has got to win up front and win on those rundowns. It's not going to be – there's probably going to be about 15 passes in this game for Penn State. So what does that mean? Guys like Deshaun Singleton, Rex Guthrie are going to have to come up and make tackles. And obviously the defensive line is going to have to play well in the box.
Sean, Bill Bush, 93.7 The Ticket. The numbers say, when you talk about that, but the numbers don't say that. The numbers say that they don't rush the ball very well. They're 60th in the country in rushing, and they're 60th something in stopping the run, and think they have 13 sacks, which is a very low number. Why do you think those numbers are poor, but yet their perception is so high?
I just think in the Big Ten, a lot of teams' stats don't come out. The way the style of the play is in the Big Ten, you don't even see a lot of 400-yard games in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the games are in the high 200s and low 300, in the 300s for most teams other than the USC right now. It's just the style of this conference with limited possessions, longer drives, it just doesn't really – it's not very stat-friendly for a lot of teams in this conference. That's why I don't put a lot of stock even into Nebraska's not allowed 400 yards a game this year in any game, just because some of the natures of these games have – just been low snap counts, long drives. You know, if you're only on the field for 55 or 60 snaps, you better not give up 400 yards. So I think the stats are a little misleading, because I looked at what Penn State did last week, and they ran the ball great against Michigan State, you know, with 40 carries for over 200 yards for those two running backs alone. And, you know, if that formula is there, and I think they've realized that they need to run the ball like that. They kind of got away from what they should have been doing. I think now they're back on it, where they've become a more physical team. I mean, they almost beat Indiana, guys. Let's not forget that. I mean, they were a toe away, and I know Simple hates though they were that close analogy, but they were. I mean, one play away from beating Indiana, which how many teams in college football can say that right now?
No, and there's cases where it's fair. I just get it. Just the coming close thing is very shallow to me in most cases. Like, who cares if you came close? But that was a game that I would point to and say, yeah, they're all right. Now, what are reasonable expectations for TJ Lateef in this game? Reasonable expectations.
I would like to see him get the ball out, because you know Jim Knowles is going to bring heat. He's going to bring a lot of pressure. And so, you know, what is the plan to get the ball out when you recognize pressure? And obviously his legs need to play a factor. You know, is he able to create a couple of plays by just getting out of the pocket and running? And, you know, how much will they get him out of the pocket? I would think a lot. I think they're going to move him around a lot. And the noise, you know, what will the noise be like? We really don't know. The ticket market suggests that it's not going to be a huge crowd there when you can get in for $5. But we don't really know what that atmosphere is going to be like. It's still probably going to be tougher than Minnesota, even at 70%, 80% full. I mean, that's my guess, is that stadium will be about 70, 80% full on Saturday. And that top third deck level will probably be fairly empty, if I had a guess.
Okay, now one off Nebraska topic question. Bill, I thought, had a – now, Sean is a – is a like, Sean can travel with the best of them. You are. You could be a travel agent if you weren't doing your
it's
current
It's been
job.
Well noted. Steve has noted that.
True. Yeah.
Now, what would you think of Bill's idea? He has this idea called Planet Airport, and it's a gym in airports. A gym in airports that you would be kind of like Planet Fitness, just a smaller version. What do you think of that idea? I think – go ahead.
I think the idea is a good idea, but the problem is the real estate inside an airport is so valuable. Like, you just – there's just not a lot of space to do what you would need, and a lot of people don't have that much time in the airport. But some of these nicer United clubs and things like that, it would be nice to have a little treadmill or something there, to, even just to walk on.
No, Sean, I'm talking about a gym, a littler gym, a smaller gym. Now, I get it. I've had people text and say, no, the rent at airports would be so
high.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at. The
no,
rent
but Popeyes can, what, if Popeyes can, if Popeyes can, Popeyes can have afford a spot. It. Yeah.
Why can't we have
but
fitness?
Think about Chili's. how many sales they're doing.
Okay, that's
and
good. Man,
SIP's gym membership, guys, is like $10 a month.
It is. Yes, it is.
$10.83.
I don't even know how Planet Fitness makes money at that rate.
$10.83. It's like I don't pay.
They pay you.
They pay you to pay be you. There.
Yeah, I mean, Sipple goes there so often, like he's paying like 50 cents every time he goes in yep. there. I mean, it sounds like a real profitable venture.
Well, some people don't go at all.
I have one
Sean
quick
didn't
question.
Have a good point. Go ahead,
Bill. We have a question, quick, Sean. This is to paint the picture of last week. So when I used to go on the road with Ed Ogeron, it was insane, meaning that you had there was never a time to stop. You did not have lunch. You did not have anything. You were pre-packed. I'd always have beef jerky with us in case we need a piece of beef jerky in the drive. But it was, we're going to get to 9, 10, whatever it is that day. And it was mapped out. And it'd be like, hey, we're going now. Now we're going to Thompson High School. We're going to go see so-and-so. And it would be in there. And how much time do we have? We can be in there for 24 minutes because we got to get on the road. And 12 minutes away is the next school. We're going in there. So-and-so is going to meet us in the parking lot. And it was like, From the time we woke up and left a hotel at 6 a.m., because I always had to have one set up before school ever started, was that the same? So did you, I'm sure you tracked where Rule was last year. Was that the last week? Was that the same type of setup, just hitting as many schools as possible?
Yeah, well, this is more senior commits because you only can, you know, you only can see your commits this one time before they sign in 2 weeks. So the emphasis was Georgia and Florida to check in on their commits and see them all. But you can't. It's not in home season either, so it's all informal bumps and things like that. But yeah, they hopped around on the jet, you know, from point to point to point. It wasn't really a car type deal because of just the nature of how limited your days were. I mean, you know, they only had 6 total days left, and with Dykeel Shorts out with Matt Rule, that's 2 days of your 6 each day. And I believe they had EJ Barthel might have been out last week too. So, yeah, I think the focus, Coach, was more on the commits and just making sure they could see all of them one final time before they signed.
Sean, always good stuff. Enjoy the Airbnb in State College, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll have a full, I'm sure Sipple by Monday will have a full report, but looking forward to it.
Good reporting, Sean. Good job.
Thanks guys.
Husker Online, Sean Callahan.
Jeez, there's a lot there now.
It was.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. I mean,
Well, you're an insider, Steve.
A little. I mean, I thought that what Sean said about what Dominic Raiola shared in terms of fit, that's the most interesting piece of information we've got, that Dayton wasn't 100% comfortable with the fit. Now, Sean, in very, you know, in a pragmatic way, it is some of that's about the fact that they got a full quarterback cupboard right now.
Is this also something, isn't it very unique? That right now for this coming up class, 26, there's not a lot of spots available also.
Right.
I mean, most people have their quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
It's late. This is a quarterback.
It's November 19th right now.
A quarterback with, a month left till signing date? Basically the 15th of December, mm-hmm. somewhere
yes.
it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
So here's the question.
So it's just an odd
timing. Doesn't that suggest to you that Dayton yes. has a spot?
Yes. That's what I said earlier. It has to be. Or if not, if you're going like, we'll see what happens. Some people might go like, oh, yeah, we have a lot of interest, but we're committed. We already have this person like that. There's not a lot. That's why we used to always talk about quarterback recruiting. It was like dominoes, and they would fall 2 years ahead of time almost. And be like going, hey, all of a sudden someone picks a school. Oh, they're out. Okay, they're out. They're going here. And the players start going, I got to get my spot. It's like musical chairs.
Now, thank you, Bill. Now, there's another part of this that's interesting. And this is what, if I was going to write something, which I may, I would probably try to drill down on this. So Simmons is saying that Dayton's not altogether comfortable with the fit. Why is he not comfortable, but Dylan apparently is comfortable? So what makes them different? Now, I will say this. They're different. Those are different kids. Dayton is more of a just all ball. You know, he's not flashy. And you'd say Dylan's flashy.
He's flashy.
Yeah, Dylan would tell you he's flashy. Dayton's not. Gotcha. Dayton's just, you know, he's probably going to play tight end.
Have you interviewed Dayton?
Oh, yeah. I know Dayton pretty well. Gotcha. And Dayton's he's different. He runs. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a good runner. He's a very good athlete. So they're different kids, and that's probably explains. It is a different fit. I mean, Dylan is more comfortable in limelight, more flashy. Dayton's not that guy. Dayton is not that guy. They're different that way. So maybe that helps explain it. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yes.
Sean, on the Airbnb thing, I'm a little concerned about
there's
the whole
two
setup.
Bathrooms. There's three people. Someone's sharing. Probably not Sean. So are you and Robin comfortable with both having your shaving kits next to the sink?
Yeah.
And they come in there.
I don't shave typically on these trips, so that's not a problem.
Do you take any hygiene products with you?
Just I keep it very simple, toothbrush, and I usually don't even take toothpaste. I get the free toothpaste at the hotel.
But now.
Which is now a problem.
Yeah, now a problem.
Because.
You're sharing Robin's toothpaste for sure.
I think, Trick's got all these little tubes of Colgate that are smaller, travel ones. I'm just going to cob a couple of those.
You talk as if they're a novelty. They have this small toothpaste.
They're available anywhere. They're really any store.
Any store you can really get them at. You can buy them at
home. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Little ones?
Not as big as the normal ones? Yep.
I'll walk you to Hy-Vee right now. We'll pick you out a couple there.
Get some close-up.
You and Bearded Ben will walk down.
No, we will not. Before we get to break, Bill, I'm curious. Last night.
Curious about what?
The color of the.
Syphilis cracking.
Racing, yes. Lights last night, Bill. What color in the house?
We stay the same. We're back with old school Christmas. Green, white, red. Alternate. So that's green, white.
Do you foresee this being the way the rest of the year?
I don't know. No, we'll always have a change up in there. There'll be a change. Yeah. White,
the Christmas
red.
Color.
And it looks Christmas colors. And it looks really just green and red. Don't like it. Need to have the white in there.
Don't want to throw black in there.
Like that.
Not a Christmas color.
White. Red and black.
No, there's not.
I don't know that Christmas color.
Santa wears a black belt.
He does.
That's true.
It doesn't mean a lot for lights, though. It does not carry over for lights.
It doesn't really.
Not at all.
It doesn't work that way.
Thank you, Steve.
Neiman & Sons Roofing and Halo, CustomLighting.com.
Josh McGuire will be here for.
He'll be here?
For next Wednesday.
No, he won't.
Yes, he'll be here. Yes, he'll be here.
When we come back, Maryland thought they might get James Franklin, but they didn't. I'll tell you that why. Next early break in the ticket.